we have learned that those kinds of things that are not kelim, that are not usable, non-utensils, not clothing, something like food that's frozen and that's not going to be edible on Shabbos, something that's refuse, that's absolutely garbage, something that proceeds from nature that we do not pick up on Shabbos, like fallen leaves or branches, these things are all muktzah. Included in this category, interestingly enough, is the guf, the body of a human being, after the neshama has left. A meis, someone who has passed away, is muktzah. The halacha indicates that a person has to be treated with the utmost dignity. But on the other hand, because the human body, when treated with dignity, is not used for any personal use at all, that means that, as far as Shabbos is concerned, because this person is, as a guf, nothing that we can maintain our lives with, nothing that we can use for our personal benefit, it is muktzah. Because we're not supposed to be nehene, because we're not supposed to take from or use the body of a nifter in any way. As a result, moving a nifter is not permissible unless it's absolutely necessary for the cover of the nifter, because, for example, there's a fire that's broken out, and in order to avoid the nifter being consumed by flames, we have to move this person. Or because, chalila, the person has begun to decompose, and it would be a terrible bizayon for the nifter to remain there where he or she is. The Rama adds, and this is very important, if the nifter is karov lahasriach as well, that is, that if there's going to set in a process of decomposition, so the Rama says then to avoid that, we would be allowed to move the nifter as well. Now let's take this one step at a time. Firstly, in the case of the most drastic destruction of the body that looms, for example, because of flames that are going to take the body and consume it entirely. So while people run away from the flames, they are also supposed to save the body. But they save the body al yidei kikar aitinik. That is, the Gemara says, we take some of the food which we are allowed to save in order to have mazon shalosh seudos for Shabbos. We place it on the stretcher, and we move the stretcher with the body, ostensibly then saying that we're moving the kikar, we're moving the loaf of bread. Along with it, we happen to be moving the body. This is the halachic rus that's used in order to avoid direct tiltul of the body, which is muktzah. A tinok, meaning a child, also would be placed on the body or on that stretcher, and then the tinok is moved, ostensibly moving the tinok with the body just circumstantially being moved as well. Now, if a kikar or a tinok are not available, then we are allowed to move the nifter not by directly carrying the nifter, but by gently sliding the body, tilting the stretcher, and the body slides onto another stretcher. And then you move the first stretcher over next to the second stretcher, and you slide again the body from the second stretcher back onto the first, and continue this way in a stretcher next to the stretcher next to the stretcher process, and move the person from stretcher to gurney, and then from gurney to stretcher, and stretcher to gurney, etc., so that the person is not being directly moved. And this tiltul min hatzad, where you move and turn the stretcher and the body slides over toward the next stretcher, is permissible if you have no kikar or tinok, and you have to save the body from being destroyed. Now, we mentioned earlier that the Rama said in a case where there's concern of the body being karov lahasriach, so then we also may move the body. That means not only in the case of flames, but also in an instance in which there is no recourse but to remove the body because it's so warm where the body is that the body, chas v'sholom, might begin to decompose. And that would be a terrible bizoyon, not only to the people in the environment, but to the person himself or herself. But if it's possible to leave the nifter where the nifter is, that would be the greatest kavod for the nifter. And while this at first sounds very jarring, because we're used to calling a chapel and ask them to remove the nifter right away, on Shabbos, the person who is going to come is going to be a non-Jew. And the non-Jew is going to have to move the person. That's not a kavod to a Jewish person. It would be a greater kavod if we ourselves would move the person. Furthermore, we are not sure that there will be shmirah where the person is going to be moved to. And in all instances, it's a greater kavod for the people of the family, the loved ones, to maintain shmira there where the nifter passed away. So if the person passed away right before Shabbos and we were not able to move the person, if it's right before Shabbos, we might still be able to straighten out the person's hands and legs and do atzimas einayim, close the person's eyes. Once it's Shabbos, that may not be done. And we shouldn't even ask a non-Jew to move the nifter if it's possible to maintain the room to be cool, opening a window if it's winter time. That way the person can remain where the person passed away and will first be moved Matzah Shabbos. The only reason to start moving a person is to proceed on toward preparing the person for Kavura, doing the Tahara, preparing for the Levaya, but that all may not happen on Shabbos anyhow. So it's a greater cover to keep the Shabbos and to do Shmiras Shabbos and Shmira of the Nifter or Nifteris at the very same time. If the room is too warm and opening up a window won't be sufficient, then if there's air conditioning in that room, it would be best to ask a non-Jewish person to turn that air conditioning on to the coldest setting possible. Asking a non-Jewish person in such a case is a shvus, and probably a shvus dishvus, because according to the vast majority of opinions, an electric air conditioning unit being turned on is a rabbinic prohibition, not a specific issa d'oraisa. And then to have a non-Jewish person do it means that it is a shavus d'shavus, a rabbinic prohibition being set aside when a rabbinic prohibition is being violated. So it's setting aside the shavus of nachri and the shavus of electricity in order to maintain the dignity of the nifter. If that's not possible, if opening the window and air conditioning all are not going to help, for example, there is no air conditioning and it's summertime, then moving the person to where there is refrigeration is permissible al yedei nachri. Preferably, again, it would be a minimal movement. It would be a movement from a room where there is no refrigerator or no air conditioner to a room where there is sufficient air conditioning. That would be far better than having to use telephones al yedei nachri to call a chapel, to have people come who are not Jewish and be involved with being metapa with the nifter and taking the nifter to some chapel where certainly en route there won't be a shomer, There may not even be a shomer at the chapel. It's true that you could walk to the chapel if it's close by and there maintain some shmirah. But in all instances, it's better to have the family stay with the nifter. And again, if necessary, to have a nachri, move the nifter or nifteris from the room where it's warm to a room where it's cool enough to maintain the body's temperature low enough that it does not begin chalila to decompose before Matzah Shabbos. So that then Matzah Shabbos, the person will be moved to a proper chapel and to preparation, moving toward the Levaya and Kfura. This, that we remove the body on Shabbos, may also be done in the case of great inconvenience to Kohanim. It could happen that a person passes away and that there are many Kohanim under that roof. For example, in a multiple family dwelling, in an apartment house situation, there may be numerous Kohanim in the building, and it would be a terrible inconvenience to have all of those Kohanim leave their apartments, which they would have to do, because of the Tumah in the building, because they're all under the same roof. It would be a terrible inconvenience, and it would be disruptive to the Shabbos of so many people. That would be something we call a Tzerech Gadol. And again, for something of that nature, for something of the nature of Tzerech Gadol, we would say, let the Nachri, let the non-Jewish person, move the Nifter, where such movement is only a Shvus. So, a Shvus to Shvus of that kind, where there are Kohanim, who would be disrupted from their Shabbos, that constitutes again Shvus to Shvus b'makom Tzerech Gadol, and would be permissible. If it's just one or two Kohanim who are members of the family in a one-family house, then the best thing would be for them to leave and to spend the rest of Shabbos in a different home, if at all possible, and leave the Nifter or Nifteris there where the person passed away. The Kohanim leaving that place because there is nothing purposeful that they can do on Shabbos to promote the sense of what we call Kavod Hames, unless there's no one else to do the Shmirah. And these Kohanim are the only ones available and their Mishpacha, so then they're allowed for the sake of the Kavod of the Nifter. If they're one of the Shivim Krivim, if there are the children of the person who passed away, these Kohanim would be allowed to stay there if there's nobody else who can properly maintain the kavod of the nifter or nifteris and properly do shmirah. But if there's someone else who can do the shmirah, so then it would be best for those kohanim to leave the premises until it's absolutely necessary for them to return in order to do the kavod that's necessary, whether it be making the preparations for the removal of the body, if no one else can do so. But again, that would have to wait till Matzah Shabbos, or other such preparations for the sake of the Nifter and for the kavod of the Nifter. But on Shabbos, the Kohanim should preferably step out and leave that location because there's nothing that they can practically do, again, as we said, unless there's no one else to do the Shmir. If it's a multiple family dwelling, of course, then because there are so many families with Kohanim who are going to be not able to keep their Shabbos properly at home, there we would call it a Tzerech Gadol. This idea of Tzerech Gadol is based on what is described in the Shulchan Aruch as cases where there is a chasana taking place, and you know that mitzvah of the Suda for the chasana is being disrupted by the presence of the Nifter, so there we would allow the Nifter to be moved. So similarly, if it's Kohanim, we say, well, then that's also a Tzerech Gadol, and we allow for the Nifter to be moved al Yedei Nachri because of the Tzairich Gadol. These are the halachos that we observe in Shmiras Shabbos, and while it might at first glance look as if it's necessary to move the Niftar for the Niftar's sake and to have the chapel called Al Yedei Nochri right away, as we think about it and recognize that it's a greater kavod for us to be the ones, for the family and friends of the Niftar to be the ones to take care of the body and to watch over the body, so we'll recognize that if it's possible to maintain the body in a cool room, that would be a much greater kavod than to start getting involved with calling Al Yedei Nochri and moving the body Al Yedei Nochri on Shabbos.